There's certain people I can't take to casino, and he's one of them.
There was one time we're at Niagara, and he bet like a five, and he lost, and he's like, oh,
hard earned $5, bro.
$5.
Why are you stepping in a building?
You know what?
Came with the mandem.
Yeah, but why are you stepping in a building and worry about $5?
My issue is that the feeling of gambling feels like I'm taking my money and going, it burns me.
I've seen you do that.
But what if you go, and then it comes back more?
Nah.
I've seen you do that on food.
What?
I've seen you do that with food.
What? Ball out on
food. Buy food. It's gone.
Imagine
you win
all the food you can buy.
It's gone in seconds, and you're still not full.
You sound like a hug.
That's you. After $5.
Sound like a head, dog. Gambling is just not...
No, I get it, but...
No.
Actually, speaking of that...
Steph.
I have a Pro Line Cam game coming up that I need you guys for. Like, yo. But it makes the game fun.
For who?
You're betting on a game?
Not for you.
It makes it more fun. It puts a little more...
Yeah, usually, you know, I'm smiling.
We're cutting all of this. Even me talking about betting, we're going to cut that.
Dead ass. Like, my advice to you, if you're going to the casino, don't call this guy.
I'm not.
Don't even think about him. Because, yo, I'm like, you know what? Let's go, whatever. I feel like I brought him, and I just lost because I brought him. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that juju exists for real.
You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas be like, don't do it.
It does, bro. It's terrible.
Yo.
Niggas are selfish.
Hold on. You'd be like, you know, you put your money on the table. You look over. He's like.
You know what I mean? He's like, you're putting that much?
Yo, go over there, dog. Stay away from me.
This is fun for you, nigga? It's leaving your hard-earned money to chance?
That's when you have that negative impact. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You saw it start. You want to go right now?
Yeah. You could invest.
I did invest.
That's a chance too, though. That is essentially a gamble. No.
What? All right, we're moving on. We're moving on.
Crypto? I'm not telling you to put your money in crypto.
That's a mutual fund. Shit could go down. I lose my money.
But it doesn't.
How?
It doesn't.
How you know?
Over time, the money always goes up.
How you know?
But that's boring. Over time. That's boring investing.
Over time.
You're telling me that you've never to get rich, you got to do boring things.
To get rich,
you just want to go to a casino.
To get rich, you have to take risks.
Huh? No. No?
No?
To get rich quick, you have to take risks.
No, in life, you have to take risks.
You take a little bit of money here, invest a little bit, take a little more.
The moral of the story is just don't go to the casino with Tashawn. That's
it. You know what the irony of this is? Don't go to the casino, period.
Grandma loves the casino.
Grandma loves the casino, bro. But she plays the slots. I feel like she's getting robbed.
The slots are different.
The whole place is a robbery. Those are just the slots.
Okay, hold on.
But I can win, is what I'm saying. It is.
You rather get robbed to your face or robbed behind your back?
Robbed by my back, bro.
I'd rather just straight up just hit my mom.
man. He's a guy podcast. Guys, we're back.
We are back.
You know?
We're back.
We just have to give a disclaimer. This wasn't planned.
The tracksuit did?
It's crazy, right?
It's lounge day after holidays.
We need a tracksuit sponsor.
Yeah, we do. That's funny. That's funny.
Why is that funny?
Nothing. Anyway. That's funny.
I'm not involved.
You guys are making it hot. You guys are making it real hot. No, we might have one coming though.
Yeah, 100%.
We might have one in the works.
From who?
A sponsor.
From who?
I don't know. It wasn't my contact. But I know we have a sponsor coming. Yo, sponsorships are available.
Are they?
Yeah. We might have a juice one. We might have a
clothing. We got clothing.
So we're the guys.
We might have a water one.
We're about to be the guys.
Brother.
People trying I don't to be know about that.
The guys, bro.
You know, but sometimes I do get thirsty, you know, so water.
No, don't boost the Evian up. The Evian's good. Evian's good. It tastes good, but they're blessed.
I might make my own He's a Guy tracksuit.
Make it.
Make one for all of
them. I'm a large.
No, 705?
Nah, yeah. Let's get back to that.
In a minute. That did well for you, though.
It did. That was good.
A little money in your pocket.
A little bit.
Yeah,
so that's trying to take it, but that's okay.
Diggas always try to take something.
Didn't they hit you for it, too?
Oh, yeah. People told me cease and desist. And
imagine. And then I'll ask you about it and then sell it.
That's crazy.
Give it away to athletes.
Make a clothing line to promote the school and the school wants to sue you.
You know why?
Why?
Because they never thought of it.
Exactly.
That's all it was. I said, let's partner.
Yeah, let me get a piece. But they don't want your student, fam. You shouldn't be doing this.
They're not doing that now. Like, but not.
They probably are. When you left, we got merch.
They're still making it.
And our merch said North 705 on it. Look better than his. I took the idea and ran with it, brother.
My N was bigger and I couldn't get a smaller. I don't know why the N was bigger. The man didn't want to change it.
It's all right, bro. It's popping. I saw that hoodie though. Anywho, What's good out there? He's a Guy podcast. We're back. You know, Steph here, part of the cast. Come on now. Introduce yourselves, guys.
Oh, damn. He's damn. To the right, right?
Damn.
My bad.
Coming off the holidays, we're lazy in there. Yo, lazy man, day.
You guys just have turkey, though?
Jackson. Everybody lazy. Everyone's going to bed, eh?
Everybody's looking at me, you know? Like, juice.
Anyway, looking at you, though.
Yo, it's your boy, Theon, man. We're here. We're going to have a good pod today.
It's a great pod. Come on. It's a great pod day.
Terrell, Freck, Jimmy, you know, health is wealth. Feeling blessed. You know how it is.
It's your boy, Tashawn here. Some call me Ty. Some call me TT.
No one calls you that anymore.
I want to have more nicknames. How come you guys have all the nicknames, dog?
You're right. But no one calls you that anymore. Though.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody say your nicknames, dog. Why don't you only get one?
Why did his voice get so soft? Like, yo, they call me Tashawn Ty.
Rico Suave. Now, he started. I thought Dion was on his voicemail. Yeah.
Kill me.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, no, because I said Juice. Tell everybody, you might as well say your nickname so they know, you know, they know who you guys are. Because I don't call you guys by your real names, to be honest.
You call me?
Steph.
Exactly. That's my real name.
What's your real name?
Steph.
What's your real name?
I just told you.
There's no way your name is just Steph.
I feel like we're going back and forth. You ever see Rush Hour 3? Is that about you? You know, now you him? That's what we're doing right now. Yo, actually, Tashawn, you gave us some gifts over the Christmas holidays. I appreciate them. But every which one of them has a story.
Do we have them here?
I have a couple gifts over here that you gave me, right? So you led off with this one. So we started, I'm going to do a quick story time for you guys. We're at our men's league game. We're all a part of a men's league team here, you know. And Tashawn goes, yo, I have something for you. You know, I got part of a brand deal. It's real nice, you know, but it spoke to who you are. So he gave me this nice little YSL gift set, you know, colognes. Real nice. Then he said, yo, you're a rum guy. Check this out.
Give you a shot, eh?
Check this out. Yo, look, just for size perspective, look at this.
I'm not sure if you're being ungrateful right now. I can't tell.
And then the man said,
"You look like you like this."
Yeah, you look like you like this. Not even sure. What is this?
Nah, you
don't use this.
No. You like technology, and you don't like your shit going missing. So I figured an AirTag is the best thing.
You know, I was just about to ask. I was about to say, yo, give us your explanation for these.
That's
things.
Fair.
Okay.
That's fair. That's fair.
Steph likes technology. He doesn't like his shit going missing.
Mm-hmm.
Steph's a big cologne guy. He has mm-hmm. a cologne. He collects colognes.
Connoisseur.
And he loves rum. It's a little baby rum. But how am I going to get him a big bottle if he can't taste the little bottle?
It was a tester.
It was a tester, dog. It's like, yo,
man, I like it.
He's trying to test if I'm a real rum guy.
He's a Ray Neff guy. He's a Jamaica guy. He's Jamaican. It makes sense. This is a Barbados rum. So it's a whole different vibe. Okay. Mount Gay.
Have you tried it before, Tashawn?
Mount Gay?
Yeah.
I actually lived in Barbados for a few months. Oh, okay. So I went to the distillery and saw how it was made.
No, okay.
So I have tried. I used to actually. No, we're not talking about how much I drank, but I've tasted it.
Okay,
nah, this is blessed, bro. Yo, Freck, where's your gift, man? I saw your gift yesterday. It was funny.
So we're gonna just dive right into that.
Yeah.
So Steph gets his gift. I'm like, oh shit, my nigga got some good shit, you know. Dion got his. I was like, okay. The man passed me a box of soap.
What kind of soap was it?
Hold on. Before we even get to what kind of soap it was or all that, I looked at it. I thought it was a joke. You know when you know somebody put something in a box or whatever? And then some man said, yo, you like to bait, so here.
What? Yo, the man said, what are you trying to say? I stink, dog? The man's like, nah, you just like to bait.
He baits a lot. I bait a lot. So, but I'm not even a front fam. Respect, I used it last night.
Straight to the
you shit. You hear stories Freck can say, yo, I was in the shower.
When have you ever heard me say
you
in the shower?
You said you're in the shower and you cry. So you, remember you said? Your first story, you said cry in the shower. My nigga, you're always in the shower.
That's crazy.
Attention to detail.
You see, you know that, but you
your
know
friends,
what?
Your friends know you.
But you see, the crazy part is, when he gave it to me, I was like, he's disrespectful. But then when he said, you like to bait, I'm like, he's not lying. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Respect for the soap. I don't want this to come off wrong. I was using it. I was like, oh, respect while I was in the shower. But I don't want to think that I was thinking soap. About him while in the shower.
It's just soap.
All right, so we're good then.
Just so. So, as you can see, how's everybody's holiday? You know what I mean? Dion, how's your holidays, dog?
Holidays were really good. It was busy, bro. First year cooking a turkey.
Holy.
Hosting.
I'm scared of that.
Honestly, shout out to this guy, Darian, at my work, bro.
Okay.
Man, you know, he brined my turkey for me and everything. I just had to pop it in, so I can't even really take credit for it. But it was blessed, bro.
Yeah.
It was really good, yeah. But like waking up at like 6 a.m. cooking and doing all that stuff.
You didn't put your hand in the turkey?
No, I didn't have to do it. Pop it right in.
How you put your hand in a turkey? Show me. I don't know what you're doing. Said,
that. Hold on. Like this is
the. I don't know. I'm asking
you. I meant to do this. I don't know why.
We don't.
Why
know.
You underhand?
I don't know that.
The man said you put your hand in the turkey.
You guys are dumb. I can tell what type of podcast is about to be.
But no, honestly, it was blessed. You know what I mean? Obviously, anytime you get to be with the family, and you know, Fred came over, and that was good too. So good vibes.
Blessed, fam. You know,
yours? How was yours?
I got New Year's Day off. I got Christmas Day off. Every other day I worked. It was busy as hell. It was crazy. But you know, I'm learning to embrace that busy is good, because on the other side of that, if I'm not busy, I feel like I'm washed up. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not doing nothing. You know, so I'm thankful. Everybody that booked or everybody that came to see me to get a haircut, all that type of business. You know, I appreciate you. Yeah, bro, it was a lot of work, but again, really, really thankful. And then outside of that, even the days that I did get off, it was really nice, you know, to spend time with family, to spend time with loved ones. I'm not sure if you guys heard, obviously, just a little morbid moment, but a lot of tragedy over the, like, just not in my life, but in terms of, like, the social scope, in terms of stuff that happened in New Orleans, happened in New York, you know. So, to be honest, even rolling over to the new year helped me kind of regain focus that, you know, despite every other thing that's going on in my life, just to be thankful for another day of breath, because some people, you know, things that we take for granted, like I looked at Christmas was here and gone. Like that, right? Being an adult, but just looking at New Year's, even just like, damn, just, you know, trying to understand that a lot of people might not get to celebrate these things, and just to, you know, soak up what you can of life and be grateful.
Gratitude. So, love that.
Yeah, bro.
You guys don't feel like, now that we're older, like Christmas, like summer, all it just flies. Remember when we were younger, it used to take forever. No?
Gone, dog. Gone are the days still. Fred! Jimmy, which one?
I know you're talking to me. Stop. I'm listening to you guys talking. I know that I'm like, ugh, crazy. I was off for 2 weeks. I went back to work today. And I don't even want to go back. Spend time with family, friends. 2 weeks, chill. You know, it was all good.
Mm-hmm.
No complaints. You know, seeing you guys yesterday in our men's league, just to let you guys know, we all look washed up, but that's besides the point.
I was sliding my feet out there, bro.
Bro, I should be seeing you moving. You know what I'm saying? But, like, it was just a good 2 weeks. Like, yeah. You know, like, I worked all year. I had a very busy year. And then to just have that 2 weeks off, like, like, you know, when you go on a vacation, it's like relax, whatever. But like that 2 weeks was just family, and then seeing close friends. Like Dion invited me over to his dinner. Went, you know, ate some Trini chicken, you know. Mm-hmm.
Is it different chicken?
You know the crazy part is, like,
is it different chicken?
Like, I can't with these. I would just do chicken. I don't know what this guy talking about.
I don't know what kind of chicken it was. It's a Trini chicken. Like, but like,
oh,
you know,
that's
Dion knows I'm such a picky eater.
Is it a different bird? What is it?
I don't, brother, I just said Trini chicken.
All right.
So, like, Dion knows I'm such a picky eater. Like, when he made steak, and right. the steak was excellent. It was amazing. Like, you know, and then.
So, saying I could cook.
Don't overdo it now, big man. Don't overdo it.
You said you had a good meal, man.
Listen, I'm bigging the man up. All right. I'm bigging the man up. And, you know, I think he was scared. I'm going to show you why. Because I said, yo, Jews, who made this? And I said, why?
Because he made some burgers in the car.
No, but like, you know,
that was your fault, bro. Don't play me for that. That was your fault.
Juice had his run-ins with some stuff cooking
before.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Not that day, but before.
No, you see what I'm saying? He worked at high class restaurant.
Oh my goodness.
Picked up a 1-2 things.
He's top notch now.
Picked up a 1-2 things.
That's what I'm saying. So I said, who made this? When I'm telling you, I never seen you say why so fast. Why? And I'm like, man, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay. And he calmed down real quick. I'm like, juice actually is really good.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, okay. But like, he didn't believe me still, you know what I mean? But I'm telling him, like, juice actually really tastes good. And then I went to, you made this? And then he's like, no, he actually made it. I was like, oh, it's really good.
You got double check?
I double tag, you know, I was just checking in on him. But no, honestly, I'm bigging him up. The steak was amazing.
Yeah.
And for me to tell you that, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a food critic or any of that stuff, but I'm a very picky eater.
Right.
And I was really shocked with how good it was.
That's blessed, bro.
So that's
shout out to Juice. Appreciate it.
Shout out to Juice, dog.
So if you need some steak, Juice.
Don't call me.
Sean, you had an eventful holiday. Talk about it.
Was it ever? I went to Antigua.
Okay.
See my mom. My mom lives there. It was really nice to get away. My cousin came to visit too. She hadn't been to Antigua since she was young. So I had the pleasure of like showing her the island. As if I'm a local, but it kind of feels that way. I've been there 5 times over the last year. And it was just nice. Like being on the beach, being in the sun for a bit. My trip kind of ended on a low note a bit. Totaled my rental.
Yikes.
And that whole experience is a messy one.
Everybody's blessed?
Everyone's blessed. Everyone's okay. But it's just dealing with that type of situation.
Sure.
I lost my phone. But I think that whole experience, I didn't lose my phone, I broke my phone. But I think that whole experience kind of shows you that material things are just material, right? Like things can be bought back, things can be paid for. But it's like, it's truly the people in your life that matters most. And I think that was the big takeaway for me. It was like, felt like God was showing me like, yo, none of this stuff matters.
Dude. No, literally.
As long as you have your people, you'll be fine. And I felt fine. And I'm just glad everybody's fine, like you're saying. And then I went to Montreal to spend it with my grandparents and my dad and stuff. And that was just a really good time. Every time I go there, it's like seeing my grandparents get older. It's kind of like there's part of me is like, oh my gosh, like they're not going to be around forever. But it's just like enjoying those little moments with them. It's everything for me. Just like hearing my grandma laugh, having my other grandma teach me how to cook. Like it's just, the holidays were great. Like I missed you guys, but I really had a great time just spending with my family. Like it was real wholesome. But it was nice to get back home. Like it was really, as much as that was fun, it was also nice to just spend time at home, just chilling, doing nothing. And then getting back into men's league, it's painful, but we're doing it together, so. It's painful to watch. It's painful to do. I don't want to see if there's tape. I just feel like
there's tape. Masky pulls. Yo, let me tell you guys something.
There is tape. A man told me he watched.
Let me tell you something.
One of our games after. I'm like,
let me tell you something.
I'm not watching that.
So I go to runs with most of these guys that play like our opposing, competition or whatever. I go to runs with them like on a Monday or a Wednesday. So I get there on a Wednesday last week, right? Because New Year's Day was off. So we played them, I think, a week and a half before that. Bro, they showed me a highlight tape of what Rise Up had on Instagram. We don't look good. And this was public. And I'm just looking at, bro, it's our first game back. Like we didn't perform the way that we... But yo, the clips that they look like carving us up.
We didn't get a clip.
They're carving us up. It looked like the only thing missing was lobs and dunks. They had everything else though. Windmill dunks, two-hand dunks, reverse dunks, passes, no looks, all dribble moves. We're just out there running and they were pylon-ing us, man. It was crazy, but... Yeah, nah, listen, we'll get it together.
I remember being out there yesterday. I'm like, is this as bad as it looks?
It's that.
I don't even want to see how it looks.
It's terrible. But hey, you got a W.
That's the crazy part. You guys can't beat us and we're not in shape?
There you go.
Talk about it.
I'm not talking, bro. Talk we're not it. In shape and they can't beat us.
Come on. So, yo, we're going to get back in shape. Listen, springing off the new year.
But guys, I'm going to put in work.
No, real life, though.
I'm going to go run. I'm going to do everything.
The way I felt yesterday, Juice, after the game, I was like, okay, my back's starting to seize up a little bit just at the lower end. Anyway, springing off of this new year, right, I felt like it's important because, you know, they always say, like, new year, new me, new goals, different things that, you know, some people that may not be able to follow all the way through. But I kind of want to make today's topic something that's a little bit more, again, wholesome and simple, where it's like, we talk about how do we succeed in goals? How do we, you know, and just keeping it simplistic. So today's podcast topic is just the fear of transition, the fear of success, and how do we overcome those things. So for you guys, how do you feel like we run into those things? Like what is the biggest thing for you guys when you hear like success, or when you hear like transitioning into a new space or whatever? Like what pops up in your mind?
I think when I think about it, it's just the fact that when you go into a new space, you have to start from the bottom. And we have, like, I have this fear of starting from the bottom, because it's like, a lot of times, when you think about school, for example, you got through it, you were good at school, you got to the top of it. Then you go into the job market, you got to start from the bottom. And the thought of doing something new is the fact that you have to start from the bottom. But when you get back to the bottom, you're not used to being at the bottom. It's like playing ball, like, in my experience, like on my teams, I was always playing a lot. I was always like a guy. And then you get into the workforce and you're a nobody. And like, and it feels like you're a nobody. And for me, like, even when I think about social media, it's the same thing. I had to learn how to create content, and I had to learn in a public way. It wasn't like I started from zero followers and was trying to build it up. I started from having a lot of followers, and I'm trying to learn how to do this with everybody expecting me to know how to do it. So I think there's a fear for me of starting from the bottom. And when it comes to transition into a new space in your life, I think that's what it is for a lot of people. We just don't know how to be at the bottom again. Like when we think of ball, we were shit at one time. We were bad at basketball when we started. But we forget that when we try a new thing, because now we're good at other things. So it feels better to just go back to the things we're already good at than it does to feel like, let's step into something new. And I think that's what it is for me. I like to look like I'm good at something. We tend to not put ourselves in positions where someone could look at us and be like, yo, you're not good at that. That's how I see it.
Listening to that, when you say start from the bottom, I'm a little different. I like starting from the bottom. Mm-hmm. I like to see my journey and my process and how everything goes. And I shouldn't do this, but I do it. I see the mistakes you made. I'm not going to make those mistakes when I'm going up. So I'm a little bit different from him. I like a little bit of a struggle.
So do you have that fear of transitions, or fear of starting something new and the success that could come of that? Like what?
I don't know if I have a fear. I like to see where it goes, right? If it fails, it fails. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I tried it. There's a lot of things that I probably should try a little bit more. But, like, I don't look at things as failures. You know, like everybody says a loss. I look at them as lessons. Mm. Right? That's why I said I don't mind starting from the bottom. Mm-hmm. Because I like to see how everything plays out. And, like I said, nah, I'm not going to make that mistake. Right? That's how I see it, pretty much.
Yeah.
I think it's just being uncomfortable, mm-hmm. you know, like even for me, I think in my previous job, I stayed even though I wasn't happy, because the thought of having to go somewhere else and wow over new people or meet new people or learn different things was like, I don't want to say terrifying, but it was like something that was in the back of my mind. And I'm like, man, I'd rather just stay here kind of thing. Yeah, just like you just got to continue to work on it and just, I don't know. I do resonate with what you say too, though, because like I do like a challenge, but obviously to a certain degree, I think that it's just always in the back of my mind, and it's something that just, I just like being comfortable.
Yeah, like that's real, because it's like you're comfortable and you're uncomfortable at the same time. Or like you said, he's comfortable here. And then you think about like, you know, like, yeah, I'm comfortable here, but I know I shouldn't be here and I want to go there. So like that for me, it's like the same thing. It's like you just watch all those steps and it's like eventually you got to attack it, right? You got to get to that uncomfortable situation. Because we all have been in uncomfortable situations.
For sure.
Right?
So my question that I would ask you guys is like, when was the last time you guys put yourself in an uncomfortable situation? We were like,
for me, I would say the men's brunch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Public speaking has never, ever, ever been something that was like my forte. But I challenged myself while we were building all that up, that I was like, okay, you know what? That's something that you're really good at, but that's something that I want to work at. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go into this. I'm going to make sure that I talk, you know what I mean? And learn from it. You know what I mean? So that's something I'll say. I made myself very uncomfortable and trying to perfect it.
For me, I can't think of anything like relating to job wise where it was uncomfortable.
It doesn't have to be job. Like, cause if you think about it, even a fear of transition could be like moving, right? If
you're moving... I was about to get into that.
Okay.
Right. When, I just moved, we got a house. It got uncomfortable at times, right? Because a lot of people like to show like, oh, I'm big baller, I'm big this, I'm big that, right? But like, it really does mess with your mental when you're asking you some real life questions. What's your credit score?
Ooh, it's humbling, right?
Yeah, you get those like, bro, I gotta do better.
Yeah.
Okay, like you're balling, you're in the club, you're doing this and that. Okay, well, you need this down payment. Do you have it? You know, it's all the step backs and it makes you realize like, shit's real out here, right? Like, no matter how comfortable you might think you might be because you talk about it, when it's time to be about it, like, are you going to have the credentials to show? And it gets very uncomfortable because it's like the person on the other end, they're just asking you real life questions. Like, they're not trying to like make you feel bad about yourself, right? Trying to put you down or anything, but it's just, it's real life, yeah. Right? And the way we go about certain things and we see certain things and we hear certain things, believe it or not, credit runs this world, right? So no matter how much money you think you have, if you don't have anything to back the money up, no one wants to work with you.
Right. For me, uncomfortable, there's a lot of situations I could allude to. Whether it's work, whether it's moving, like a lot of spaces within work, because I work for myself, I'm a barber, so...
That's fearful in itself.
To be honest with you, like even when people come and ask like for a different hairstyle or different, then you may have only done it once or twice or any of these type of things. It's just like, damn, okay. Like,
do you say that to them though?
No, but I feel like you can't. I don't even notice.
From them. That's what I'm saying. I only did this once.
But at the same time, you still have to be honest of what skill base you have. Like, so you try to point them in a direction of what your expertise is or what you know. So like, for example, a person's coming to me that has that wants like a shear cut, like a scissor type of cut. I can direct them in a space where it's like, I know what I'm good at with these shears. Mm-hmm. So I can try to like direct you to that. But that's just the expertise within the space. But not so specifically, just even I remember during COVID, there was a time where we were cutting and we had like the shop boarded up and then we were cutting inside of that. And then city bylaw came and said, yo, you guys are working in here, you guys can, gave us a fine. But it was at a time where like the red zones and different things was like, but I still had to work. And I was not about to travel all GTA wide every day wasting gas, whatever the case. So I had to get into an uncomfortable space and go work out in Milton because it was a red zone. So I guest spotted for 3 months, right? From March up until June, damn near. I was in Milton every day working out a guest spot. And it was like meeting new people, working in their space on their timing on different things. And it was just like an uncomfortable feeling. And that's just work. When it comes to me now, alluding to what Tashawn was saying before as well, it's like you never really feel like you want to start from the bottom with things. And it's like, fortunately enough for me, all the things that I've done, I haven't really given myself a real risk. All the things that I've gone into, I've been good at. So whether it's work, sports, whatever, I found myself to be fortunate enough to be good in those spaces where it kind of just, for, I mean, quote sake, fell in my lap. Barbering fell in my lap. I just knew always how to, like, I learned the skill of lining myself up at home. And then when I went to school, I just watched YouTube videos and I got better at it, but in the shadows of things. And then when people ask, like, yo, who's doing your hair? I'd be like, me. And they're like, oh, so if you could do your hair, you definitely do my hair. Tashawn was one of those guys for me where I test cut or whatever for him. Then he'd go to school. People ask him where he get his hair cut. And that would help me progress along. Or, basketball. I was always somehow a good athlete at most sports. So soccer was good. Hockey, I was good. Just a plethora of things where I just happened to fall in my lap where it's like I didn't really have to give myself a risk at trying or it didn't feel that way. But now it's like you want to elevate, you want to grow, and you start seeing different people in their spaces and they're doing well at multiple things where you feel like maybe you want to branch out, but it's like, again, what even look into what Theon said, it's like, I'd like to go here. And I don't love it over here, like where I'm at, but I've already reached a certain plateau where it's like, I'm good. So I don't really need to try at it. So I don't know. It's kind of a caveat to deal with, but yeah, that's what I guess we're here to talk about today, the risks and giving yourself that space and the grace to just try, you know? So that's more or less my take on it, but.
No, I like that because it sounds like you, based on like what I know from you is that you're open to trying things, right? Do you always push yourself to the level where you're in super discomfort to grow as much as you can? Might be a different conversation, mm-hmm. but it's like, you're still willing to try. Like even this podcast, I approached you, I'm like, yo, I feel like you'd be really good to host this. And you were like, yo, thank you. Like, yeah, I would love to try it. You never hosted a podcast
before. Nah, never.
But it's like you were willing to try. Like that is applaudable in itself because it's like, some people would be like, I don't know mm-hmm. if it's for me, but you were willing to try. So you got to give yourself credit for that. But now it's kind of like, even to what Freck's saying and what you're saying, it's like, what makes us not push ourselves to the level where we could go? Because I feel like I could look at the room, all of us, and I can say you could be doing better. Mm-hmm. You could be doing better. You could be doing better. We all could be. But what stops us from doing better? There's probably something in our mind where like, I could do that thing, but there's something that's holding us back from doing that. And a lot of times that's the place where we need to go.
Yeah.
And what is that? Is that fear? What is the fear of that transition?
Why do we often think transitioning is taking a chance or like the risk is difficult? Why do we feel that way? Like even just piggybacking off what you just said here, that's basically what the question is asking. Why do we think it's a tough thing?
I think it's tough because like you said, people don't want to fail, mm-hmm. right? And when you think about failure, you think about how other people see you instead mm-hmm. of how you see yourself. So successful, like when you think of anybody successful, you always think about rich. You always think about more, right? Like Deshaun just said, oh, I think you could be doing better. You could be doing you. But some people believe like, this is me. This is better than what I had before. So this is good for me.
Right.
Regardless of if I could go further, like Theon said too, I'm comfortable here. And being comfortable sometimes isn't good, but sometimes it is good because you don't know what they really came from. You don't know where they came from, right? So if somebody came from nothing, like for example, I'm gonna give you an example. If somebody had, if their parents had a Honda their whole life and then they finally drive now, let's say a Benz, right? That's a step up for them. So they believe in their eyes they're doing really well. And I would believe so too, because if you see somebody be like, oh, he's driving a Benz, right? But we don't really know how far he wants to go, he might just be comfortable there.
Right.
So that's all I see. I just go back to people don't want to fail.
Even to piggyback off of that, like when I go to like these rooms with you and stuff, like when I'm talking to people, I feel I have the fear of being inadequate. I think that's a big thing. Like when you're talking to the, oh, I do this, I do that, I do that. I'm like, oh.
I don't do all that. Yeah, like,
oh, I just do like one thing.
But they might find what you do amazing.
Exactly. Right. And it's reminding yourself of that and just putting yourself out there. I think, like you said, when you're talking to these people, they can see you and be like, oh, wow, I like what you do. Let's connect, whatever the case is. And that in itself is a step. And you trying to better yourself and do better things. So
would I be fair in saying that? I think I am fair. I'm not going to ask that. just getting directly to what I'm going to say is just, I think this resonates with a lot of us in this room and out there watching, the imposter syndrome, which is the feeling of like, I don't want to be the spotlight guy. So that's another way that we look at ourselves and be like, yo, I'm not going to take this risk because if this risk, if I do take this risk, I'm going to be looked at like I'm being too celebrated and I'm shy. I don't really want that. I'm going to shy away from it. And then also the idea of if we do become successful, it's like, who do we get? Like, oftentimes when we reach a level of success, there are people that we may have to leave behind and we may fear that. You know what I mean? So like, for me, for example, I feel like if I were to leave, even like putting it back on work, if I were to leave my shop, right, to elevate to my own private space or go to a spot downtown, it's like I'm leaving the people that I came up with, you know what I mean, in this barber game, the people that gave me tips and tricks to take myself to another level. When it's like I may I may have superseded what that shop could do for me now. You know what I mean? Not to say that I have, but who's to say that's not the case? So I may be limiting myself, but it's all self-inflicted. It's in my own head. Where if I were to go, they might be happy for me. You see what I'm saying? Where it's like, yo, you've done all you can here.
Fear of not knowing, right?
The fear of not knowing.
How people are going to receive it.
You see what I'm saying? So it's the fear of anxiety, the guilt behind all these things is you know, what really, really hits home for a lot of us, I feel like, in those spaces.
Survivor's remorse, right? And it's like, I know, like, my experience, too, is there's a lot of things that are there. Like, mm-hmm. there is that fear of judgment, especially with what I do. I'm constantly being judged all the time.
Right.
And that feels like a lot. You know what I mean? It's like your family has something to say. Your friends have something to say. Your followers have something to say. And it's like, if you don't counterbalance that with shit that reminds you how great you are, you're going to just listen to what people have to say.
Yeah.
And I think that's one big thing I've learned this year, even like through faith. It's like, you think, okay, like God got me. That's one thing to counterbalance it. Being around people who are positive, it's another thing to counterbalance it. What you read, what you listen to, what you watch counterbalances it. Because then it's like, instead of me just hearing what people have to say and being swayed by that all the time, I have other things that remind me you are still great. And I think that's important. And another point to it was kind of like, even with when we're talking about survivor's guilt or survivor's remorse, is like when you level up, it's not only that your life becomes better, but everybody, there can be an expectation from you to bring everybody with you. And it's hard, it's a pressure.
For sure.
It's hard to do because you can't do it and you can't satisfy everybody's expectation. When I won Big Brother, people were in my DMs being like, family. Me and my DMs, yo, cuz, can I borrow $3,000?
Disguise. Yo, can you imagine?
You know what I mean?
When was the last time you spoke to him before that?
I didn't know he was my cousin. I didn't even see
it. Y'all niggas get
the follow back button was still blue. I was like, oh,
oh my God.
I was like, you didn't know that was my cousin. My
God. I said, brother, who is this? There's no real picture in the DM. I said, which cousin is this?
But yo, cuz, give me that 3K.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the follow. Don't worry
see
about
what I'm
that.
Saying?
That.
I had a brethren that said, yo, when you won, I thought you were going to take us to the club and we're going to pop bottles. Expectation. It was just,
that.
Huh?
That's right.
It's not even that. It's just that everybody has in their mind, when we make it, this is what it would look like.
Right.
But they have their own definition of you, of making it, that you might not have. To me, winning $100,000 was not making it. So everybody expected me to flip out my checkbook. Yeah. I thought that was insane. Yeah. But in their mind, they're like, yo, you made it. Because when you look at where I came from to where I am, yes, I'm in a better place. But in my mind, I didn't make it.
But you're not where you
want to
be.
And I'm not where I want to be.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's hard to try. How do you explain that to everybody?
Man.
How do you explain to people, I can't bring you with me? That's another situation that got uncomfortable for me over the last year. I had to explain to friends that we're not aligned on our journeys right now. That's hard to do. Nobody wants to have those conversations.
For real.
We'd rather just kind of just inch away or not say anything or... But those are situations I have to learn to be uncomfortable with, because it's like, I want to be a better leader. Mm-hmm. To be a good leader, you have to be able to put yourself in uncomfortable situations and have uncomfortable conversations. But these are the things we have to do in order to grow, for me at least. And these are the things that I've been learning on my journey. And yes, it's scary. There's fear of success. There's fear of failure. There's imposter syndrome. All those things exist. But a lot of times is when you go towards your fear, that's where your greatness is.
Oh, you're trying to drop bars on us. Mm.
That's a bar right there, to be honest.
You're dropping bars, eh? He's dropping stuff. Yo, drop. Yo. You want 100?
All right, this guy. This guy.
Let me hold something. Yeah, I'm your cousin, too.
Ew. So, is there any... like, I know there's consequences, sorry, but is there positives to... situations like that where you become now that leader of your life, where it's like you have to have those uncomfortable conversations. I know, you know, a lot of people today actually have said, yo, this year's personal. This one's for me, or just whatever the case is. It's like, are we ready to face those? Like, do you think we're ready to face those type of consequences in terms of kind of shifting it over into a positive? Because I don't know if everybody's ever thought of it like that. You know what I mean? Like, to put yourself in those spaces of, all right, well, I got to turn a page over and possibly lose friends or whatever the case is. But, like, what's on the other side of that?
I think even us just showing up here is answers, like, gives us the answer yes to your question. Because, you know what I mean? You're taking steps. Because if you, when we were younger, if you would have said, yo, we were doing this, I would have been like, what are you talking about?
For what?
You know what I mean, right? But it, there comes a point where it's like, sometimes it just weeds itself out. It's not even necessarily like, yo, I can't, we're like, we're not aligned. It just, you, it's just so prevalent in front of your face that you just know, like, okay, like, I got to move on, right? I think that for me, I've had people in my life too, where I'm like, okay, where I'm trying to go, you're still stuck on what we were doing back in the day. What, like, when we were younger and stuff like that, and it's not where I'm trying to go. I'm trying to move forward. I'm not trying to go backwards, right? So I think the steps that we're taking in everything that we do every day, mm-hmm. whether it's this space, you know, you're doing your security thing, you're doing your cutting hair, you're speaking, the brunches, the nonprofit and stuff like that, you know, we're setting ourselves up to be those people, to be successful, to eventually reach that, I don't want to say ceiling, but to reach high. To be successful for ourselves.
So what you're both saying too is like, and I know Freck and I have talked a lot about this, is the to whom, what's the, how does the saying go? To who much is given,
much
is expected. And it's like the positive in that is that you're given a lot. To be able to see that you want more means that you actually have the mindset to want more.
But in that, don't you feel like you have to show that you are able to handle what you're given? Before expecting more?
Absolutely. In order to transition to the next point in your life, yes. I feel like it's important that, yeah, you water your own situation before. It's like, are you going to go fix your neighbor's house before your house is, while your house is still mashed up? Well, absolutely not. But it's like, in order for you to level up to the next level, yeah, it requires you to take care of where you're at now. But it's like, you're blessed to be able to do that.
Right.
And I think sometimes we take these blessings for granted.
For sure.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like when you look at a star player on the ball team, it's like, yeah, LeBron will get blamed when the team loses.
Yeah.
But it's also like when they win, he gets that, like he has to deal with the pressure of winning, and he has to deal with the pressure of losing. Like, he, on both ends, when they win, it's amazing for him. When they lose, it's, the blame is all on him, but that's just kind of comes with it. It's like, there's more pressure to level up and get better, but it's like when you get to that other side, there's a lot more for you over there.
I want to go back to something that you said. You said, like, when you, sometimes you step in rooms, you talk to people, and you feel like you're inadequate because some people may be doing more. Is that something that you personally may want to venture into to do more? Or do you feel like mastering one thing for now is, and I just like to open that up to everybody in the room. Like, do you guys feel like doing more is what you're striving to do?
I think often as kids, we did a lot of things mm-hmm. to see what we're good at. And I think as you get older, you kind of veer away from that. So I think for me, it is doing the things that I'm uncomfortable and trying it and trying new things and seeing what I'm good at and whatever. Because again, I would have never thought doing a men's mental health brunch would be something that would interest me or something that I could give my all to. But then stepping into that space, I'm like, I couldn't see myself not doing it, right?
Right.
So I'm trying to be comfortable being uncomfortable and trying to do different things. And obviously, like, I have two kids looking at me, and I want them to look at their father and be like, okay, this guy, he tried. He always gave his all, whatever the case is. So that's what, when I'm in these rooms, I'm trying to better myself and do.
For me, I always want more.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, my wife, everybody always telling me, like, yo, you gotta slow down sometimes, you know?
I hear that so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for me, it's like, what am I slowing down for? I'm gonna keep going. I want more. I got this, I want that. But it's like, be comfortable with what you have right now.
I'm grateful,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but why do I have to be comfortable and grateful right now when I can still go get that? You know what I mean? So for me, I always just want more. Like, and some people look at it as a bad thing. I just look at it as being motivated, right, to get to where I really want to be. right? Like, people always say, if you're not motivated, you're not doing anything, right? You're motivated to cut hair, right? You said, like, when you were sitting down, you're like, whoa, what am I doing? Like,
literally, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but if somebody calls you, yo, Steph, can you come? Yo, come through,
yeah.
Right? But you told yourself you're going to relax today, but you're still doing more, right? So for me, I always want more. That's it. I just always want more. Some people say you're greedy. I don't think you're greedy. I think I call that a hustler, right? So I just always want more.
I mean, like, sometimes as men, I agree with what Freck's saying, like, it's important that we want more. But sometimes I do believe that we could get lost in the more and not appreciate what we have.
Mm.
You know what I mean? We're always working, grinding. It's like, but when does it stop? You know what I mean? And I think that's the balance sometimes that we have to find, because I remember there was a time I was working so much. There was bag under my eyes. My belly was hanging over. I was coughing all the time. Why are you laughing, bro?
Hold on.
I was overworking myself. My neck was...
Where was your belly hanging over?
It wasn't really hanging over. It wasn't like how it looks today, though.
Oh,
it was a different belly. It wasn't the same belly.
It was...
Now, you called me fat in Miami, dog. You called me fat one time.
How did it make you feel?
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
I said, yo, my bad. I said something.
You said, Tashawn, you don't usually look like that. You look fat now.
So where I set you back.
It hurt.
Or drive.
It hurt, brother.
Yeah.
But it really just spoke to, like, I wasn't actually taking care of myself. I was so focused on getting more. I stopped focusing on myself.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, we think of more in the wrong way.
100%.
I was thinking more as in money.
Right.
And sometimes we can get so caught up chasing money and losing sight of the big picture. Like, I want to say last year I was making some of the most money I ever made. I was unhappy, though. So the more that I was looking for wasn't money.
Right.
Lost in the wrong more. The more that I was looking for was impact. It was community. Now, I've been making a little bit less money. I say no to campaigns. I say no to things that don't align, brand deals that don't align with me. But now it's like building this with you guys, doing the men's brunches, doing social media content I actually care about, actually being myself. That means more to me than just getting a bag.
Right.
And sometimes I think as men, we can get lost in the more. The more can, and sometimes we have to stop to see that. When we're working, grinding all the time, we sometimes we can't even see what's happening. We're just working.
I think that's the conflicting thing for most men. You know, we grow up in a society where it's like, if you're not doing something, like Frank saying, you're not doing something, you're not a man. You're not doing something. You need to do more and this, do that. So when you get lost in things, trying to do the more. That's the thing I feel like I guess we have to refine. But how would you find that, I guess, other than just trying? Like, do you try and, like that's the thing I'm trying to navigate here. It's like, you could try all you want, but it's like, when do you know enough is enough? Or when do you know it's like, yo, this is not for me. I'm going to go over here. Because some things might not be as glaring of an answer.
Like you're saying the results?
I don't know, but that's what I mean. Like, okay, so for me, if I were to say, like, yo, I want to try something new, right? And I try it.
When do you give up on it?
When would you say, yo, it's time to transition from this to... So for, like, basketball, for example, like, yo, if I want to try to be a pro, I could try it right now. I could try work all this time, whatever, put in the work, but it's like, does that benefit where I am in life now? Like, when is it time to maneuver?
I think I'd say, if, like, your passion and your hard work is not in it, then you kind of know. Like, if you're doing something leisurely...
Mm-hmm.
That's when you kind of just like, okay, yeah, you're not like, if I was to say I would pick up tennis tomorrow and I was just doing it, like I started out and this is where I want to go with it, but I'm just doing it leisurely. I'm not giving my all to it. It's like,
well, say you are giving your all to it though.
Then why would you stop?
Maybe it's not breeding the results that you, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, for example, I know a lot of guys that either with sports or in a career path where they're trying and just not bringing back the results that, you know, not to say that they're immediate, but bringing back things where it's not meeting the reality of where they may be in their life. Does that make sense?
Yeah. For me, when I'm listening to it, the only thing that's popping up in my mind is you got to be real with yourself, right? And when you got to be real with yourself, it's not like, and also you got to have real people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, you said the pro thing, right? Like, when does a pro career really end in between, like, I would say the end of like 35? The guys that you see past 35 is like
an anomaly still.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, those guys are like, we look at them and like, whoa.
Yeah, one of
like, I'm 32. Sure. I feel like my body's breaking down.
For sure.
So I could only imagine how those guys feel. So now if I'm 32 right now saying, oh, I'm going to try to be a pro, I'll be kidding myself. But at the same time, I'm going to still try it, but I'm not being real with myself because, you know, it's like prime for basketball is between like 25 to like 33, right? And then when you in between there, those are your prime years. And if you play after that,
you're on the decline of some sort.
You know what I mean? And it's like, kudos to you, you're still going, right? Yeah. But so I'm just listening to it. I just think some people don't keep it real with themselves, right? And have some real people around you. Because if you can't keep it real with yourself, the people around you will keep it real with you. Even though it's going to be harsh, it is what it is. Like, it's the truth.
Okay. Okay.
Absolutely. And it's like, if you have, like, we spoke about mentors.
Yeah.
Are there people outside of like your friends and are there mentors that are like, oh, I could see this for you? Because sometimes like you hear the success stories where people had that delusional belief that no one believed in them,
for sure,
but they still made it. But those type of people put in, like, what kind of work were you putting in to still get there?
Right.
And that's the part of being real with yourself that you need. It's like, if you want to go play pro right now, I look at you and say, nah. Mm-hmm. But if you were putting in, like, if you were in the gym 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. every day putting up shots, I might look at you and be like, oh, this guy's serious.
Yeah, but then
I might still say, nah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but say, oh, he really wants it.
Nah.
But he's not going to make it. Like,
you know what I'm saying? But that would say a little bit more if you were actually putting in that work.
Right.
But there's a lot of times, and I think we do a lot of our friends a disservice sometimes when they say they want something or they say but we don't.
Not putting the real work for them.
We don't put in, like, we don't keep it real with them.
Yeah.
And there's a balance to that, obviously, because it's like, our opinion is not always asked for.
For sure.
But sometimes it's like, if you told me you want to go to the league, I'm like, yeah, Steph, you can do anything you put your mind to.
But then you don't love them. I don't think you love them. You said their opinions are not asked for, but if you love somebody, you're going to give them the hardcore truth.
I might ask your permission and say, can I tell you what I think?
Can I be honest with you? Yeah.
That's fair. So, that culminating all of that together, how important do you feel like being gentle with yourself, giving grace, is throughout the journey of, you know, the risk taking, the trying through transitions and everything like that? Like, how important is it to give yourself grace, but then also the balance of giving yourself the truth? You know, like, when do you, I guess, bridge that gap? Like, what is what?
And do you put a timeline on it? Is that what you're at?
I don't know. That's what I'm kind of asking. Like, do you give yourself a goal of like, yo, in a year, if I'm not where I need to be with this, I can transition. But that's easier said than done. You see what I'm saying? Like, you might reach a point where it's like, it's not where, like the saying for like, reach for the stars, land in the clouds type of thing. It's like, yo, I want to get here by the end of the year. But maybe you don't make it there, but the progress is still good enough where you keep wanting to try or keep wanting to try. But then does the realness set in where it's like, you know what? Nah, maybe I should transition to something else.
I think there's a couple things there. I think one thing that I always used to say is like, and I still say it, like, if you spoke to yourself like you spoke to a friend, you'd probably be a lot kinder to yourself. So that's one thing. Like, what would you say to your friend if your friend was talking to you? Mm-hmm. And I think secondly, to that point, I think when we try to do something, it's so important that we have an open mind when we're trying to do it. Because sometimes we don't, when our mind is so closed and we're so tunnel vision on the one thing, we're not seeing the other opportunities open up. So it's like, imagine I'm playing ball, I'm trying to play pro, and then someone's like, yo, you'd actually be really good in this coaching position or this GM position or this marketing position. I'm not even seeing that because I'm so tunnel vision on the one thing. When a lot of opportunities could open up from. It's like me. Imagine I was like, I only want to be an influencer. I only want to make content. Speaking would have never opened up for me. Doing stuff with, like, do... It's a good stuff. Yo.
Just continue.
We cut that? Doing men's events.
You didn't say anything. It's fine.
Doing men's events would have never opened up to me. Like... I don't know why I started laughing. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that having an open mind can really open doors for you. And I think sometimes we get so tunnel vision on the thing that we want when there's so many other things that could present itself, but we got to be open to it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he could talk to you about security and like what happened with him. It's like, it's the same thing. It's like, if he had been so tunnel vision, I'm just here to get my bread. He might not have a security company today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it's still going after what you want, but still having open mind, because being more focused on output rather than outcomes. The work that we put in.
Another bar. Who are you today, bro?
Got some bars today, fam.
Oh, man.
Arrested.
You have a notebook?
Petting that.
Right.
So, interestingly enough, I don't know if you guys follow Tyra Perry on Instagram. I don't, but I say that because...
I don't know if you guys follow. I don't.
I came off wrong.
I didn't expect you to say that.
I get it, though.
You just happened to come across it.
Yeah. So I say, if you follow it, because like you could have seen it, but you could have saw it like I saw it, and I don't follow it. So anywho, let's speed past that. going to what you had just said, there was a post that he put up wishing a woman a happy birthday, but the happy birthday message is at the end. What it started with was like this woman in this picture, like the picture that was there on the forefront.
It was his tailor.
Yeah. You did see it. So it was his tailor. It's a woman. And she's so focused on getting this, getting Tyler Perry together on his suit, right? And she has, you can just see her. Like, she's so attention to detail that she wrote off the idea of become an actress, right? So much so that she didn't even ask him. She just assumed that it would be a no. But she was so good at being a tailor, she just said, you know what? I'm comfortable being a tailor because I'm not good at it, right? And then later, she happened to take the risk in asking. She killed the role, and now she's one of the stars on one of his shows. So, like you said, it's kind of like that tunnel vision is she just stuck with the idea of, I'm only going to be this tailor. I have other goals in mind, but they're not really the forefront. I'm going to be tunnel vision here. You might have missed that opportunity. You might have missed those moments. But instead, took a stab in the dark and ended up working out for her. And now she's more than what she could ever ask for, right? So, well, I don't know that part, but you know what I mean? You get the gist of it. So it's interesting to see that come to like a reality just based off of what you're saying. It kind of resonated. So I hope any viewer that's actually kind of looking at that takes that and runs with it, to be honest, because that's a great view, to be honest.
You know, I think sometimes you're in the wrong rooms too.
That's possible.
Saying like sometimes, you know, give up or whatever, or you should maybe when is it the right time to give up? Sometimes, like a quote that really sticks with me is like, a water bottle in a vending machine is 25 cents, on an airplane it's $10 or whatever the case is. In a movie is $3. So your value can change
based on the room in different
places, right? So sometimes people don't see your value, but you can go somewhere else where people can be receptive to it and be like, okay, cool, like you're really doing that. And like, I just think that if your passion isn't in something, that you should always continue on it. Like, I know obviously there is the reality, like, okay, brother, you're not that good.
Yeah.
But if it's something you're passionate about, stick with it. Like, obviously, do your other stuff, but stick with it, because you never know what could happen, personally.
No, I think you make a really good point there. And I think even to that is that sometimes we ask, like what you're saying, we ask the wrong people for advice. Sometimes we're getting advice from people who don't have... it's hard to ask somebody for advice who doesn't have what you want. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I learned that, and no disrespect to my parents, but my whole life, I'd go to my parents for advice.
And they weren't as experienced as you would need them to be.
And not even that. It's just that there comes an age you grow up and you're like, they might not know about this
also
thing.
Also that quote, you know, like, I can't ask my parents how to make $1 million. You know what I mean? They never made it before. You know what I mean? They can't tell me the steps to go there.
You got to have some bars today.
And yeah, and like, you could have them for moral support, but some things I can't go to my parents anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, I'm an adult. I love having their support, but it's like, if I'm trying to make $1 million, I don't know if I can ask my mom and dad because they don't have $1 million.
Yeah.
They can give their opinion, but it's like, I'd rather ask somebody
closer to making that $1 million, right?
$1 million.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I think that that's so important in understanding that.
Well, listening to all this, you know, and with the whole failure and the success and all this stuff, I think everybody feels like you need to be rushed.
Right. Yeah, it's like an overnight thing.
Like, yeah, like, yeah. You see, like, for example, with the whole tennis thing that Theon's saying, it's like, and then Sean was like, but if you're up every morning 6 a.m. going to 9 a.m. and you're working out and you're doing all those things, right? Like, greatness doesn't come overnight, right? It comes over time, right? Like, I remember I bought one of my friends a shirt when it says, hard work meets talent.
And talent doesn't work hard.
See, you finished it off for me, right? Yeah. Because he was very talented. Very, very talented. Just didn't work hard because it came easy to him. And when things come easy to people, they don't work hard, right? Like, I'm not trying to say we didn't come from anything, but, you know, we want more because we really didn't come from anything. Now, if we all grew up in mansions and things were handed to us, would we work hard? Ask yourself that question.
Might not be as inclined, yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why, like, I want more. That's why I'm hungry. We're all hungry in different ways, right? But at the same time, it's like, we can't rush our own process. Everybody goes at a different pace.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I came to realize over time, right?
So. The fact, it's not a race.
Well,
marathon.
You know, I mean, I hope everybody out there kind of takes a little tip of going into this new year. It's not a race, bro. It's your own. You know what I'm saying? You guys gotta, or we all as a people, take your own strides. It's not comparable to anybody else's. Although, you know, looking at other people and their progression can help you along. It's their race is their race. Yours is yours. So just remember those type of things going to the new year where your goals, especially, you know, a lot of the things that kind of teeter off is like the gym, right? A lot of people want to start off the year like, yo, today, this year, I'm going to get myself right. I'm going to start going to the gym. And then they start to tail off because they're not seeing the immediate progression, the immediate results, you know? So
I think even to that, we forget that in order for us to change,
need to be consistent.
It's not only that, like, we have to change ourselves in a way. And I think sometimes we forget that. Having new goals and still being the old me doesn't work. Does that make sense?
It does.
Because it's like, I have to change my mindset. And I think sometimes people forget that. Having new goals with an old system doesn't work. And I think we sometimes have to change, we have to look at the system. If I'm trying to go to the gym at 6 a.m. every morning, but I'm going to bed at 2 and wondering why I'm not going to the gym, it's not because I don't have discipline or motivation. The system sucks. Maybe I'm not going to the gym at the right time. Maybe I need to be going to bed earlier. Right. I think that's the part sometimes we forget. We don't change ourselves and our mindset and our system, but we want new goals and new things. And that doesn't work. Then we're just relying on motivation.
Yeah.
And you can't necessarily just rely on motivation.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Well, let's talk about it. What we got? The game here.
Oh, we go. I thought you want to talk about something else. Got our game today.
You thought he was about to hit you with New Year, New Me?
Nah, brother. I hate that saying. I'm not going to lie to you. I hate that saying. What? I feel like it's so cliche because nobody, like you said, nobody really changes their habits.
Go to Sean. I was going to say, like, I think the new year happening gives us an excuse to try.
Okay. So?
That's what I'll say.
Yeah, but so?
So not everybody changes it, but people use it as like a launching pad, like a spring. Like,
right.
It helps give momentum, but it's like, it's, at the end of the day, it's just another day. It's another year. What are you going to say, Fred?
Nah, yeah, you stole out the whole new year, new me, like you saying you hate that thing. It works for some people. Some people it doesn't. Like Sean said, you got to change your mindset. Just because you're saying it doesn't mean you're actually like changing anything.
Yeah.
Like, I went to work, new year, new me, I'm missing that. Brother, you're still wearing the same dirty clothes, man. You know what I mean? Like, what was new? The new year? That's what you meant? Like, what's new? You know what I mean?
The date change, yeah.
That's it. So, like back to the show, they got to change your mindset.
That could be any day, though. That's what I'm alluding to, essentially. But let's talk about it.
This card's crazy.
Oh, boy. Don't get me again.
Saying you picked already. You ain't playing around. You want to talk about
it. Went to the black pot. Name a time you've done someone dirty.
Name a time I've done somebody dirty. Name a time I did somebody dirty. many I can allude to. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I'm trying to pick the one best for the podcast. I know, sir.
the best politically correct story. Bro, I was a little runt still. I won't lie to you. I was a runt. Damn. Yeah, they'll come back to me. I haven't chosen a story properly yet. Oh, yeah.
Woo! You want to go first?
I'm drawing blanks because I'm like, do I do people dirty?
That's the thing. Like, is it a perspective thing? Or is it like, you know you did somebody.
And it doesn't have to be super deep. It could just be like, yo, I did this person dirty. You know what I mean? For me, my example that came straight to my mind, I'm just going to say it, is like, I cheated on my ex-girlfriend. And
I want to take it off of that.
That's
the reason I didn't say that. I wanted to take it off of that.
Yeah, but I'm not that guy anymore. But it's like, there was a time where I was that guy.
Yeah.
And like, I really live a life with honesty, integrity. Like, I'm not in that space anymore. But back then, I didn't really see the importance of character, you know, just moving with honesty, moving with integrity, being, not trying to be different people in front of different people. And that's something I had to work a lot at. But yeah, like, I cheated on my ex. We were in a long distance relationship while I was in university. It didn't really make sense why I was even in a relationship at that time. Not to say I didn't love her or care about her, but it was like, it was a bad match of things. It wasn't a good idea. I think we made it into something more than it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I was dishonest. I was trying to have my cake and eat it too. But like I said, I'm no longer that guy, but yeah, did her dirty.
Damn.
And like, we're cool today. Like, low key, I think she cheated back.
Is that what makes it easier to see it?
No, it doesn't make it any easier. It's just not a good feeling to do somebody like that. It's just not a good, like, I've lied, I've cheated, I've stolen, like, I've done
that. That's what I'm saying. I don't know which one story to
choose. I've been, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've been, but I think having been on that side, you can get to the other side so deep, because, like, you know what it's like to have done wrong and been done wrong. And now I know what it's like to not do that. And I have so much more appreciation for being a good person and a kind person and an authentic person. So that's mine.
That's real right there. Juice?
Brother, I'm trying to think.
Draw blanks too? Well, mine's not, like, I'll just give a little short one. They're not crazy, but like, you guys might find it a little funny, but like,
it's not supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Is it supposed to be? I don't want to.
No, like, because I didn't know the man. So, like, but I did him dirty. You know what I mean? So, for example, pulled up. There was a bum there. He was asking for change. See, I don't even laugh, brother. And my cup holder's full of change. And he's like, yo, sir, you know, I want something to eat. And I was like, nah. And I drove off. No. It bugs me. I drove off. But now, like, when I see people asking for change, I don't even like to call them bums, because people asking for change or people that need something, I always give them my last. And I'll give you guys a story right now. Went to Shopper Drug Mart, came out of Shopper Drug Mart. God is my witness. This guy goes, hey, man. Like, he's in his car. I'm about to go in mine. He goes, bro, I forgot my wallet at home. And I went to the bank and I don't have my wallet to take any money out. And I have no gas in my car, right? And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'm not going to help this guy. This is kind of sketch right now, right? And he goes, I can show you my bank account. He showed me his bank account. I had $30,000 in it, right? He showed me his bank account. He's like, I just don't have anything to get back home. He goes, the car's not going to make it home for me to get my wallet. He goes, we could just drive to the
ATM.
No. We could drive me to the gas station. You can put it in. Yeah. And then, like, I'll e-transfer you the money. And I had $10, and I had my kids with me. So I'm like, no, I'm not taking that chance because I don't know where this can go. I said, I have $10. This could get you to the gas station, and then you can pump the gas, do what you got to do, and if you could make it home, because he said he lives in the area. So I said, all right, cool. He did that, and he drove off, right? And then, like, as we're driving off, I thought about him. I'm like, did this guy just rob me for $10? But I thought about him robbing me, but I'm like, he didn't really rob me because of the kindness of my heart. I gave him that. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. Like, when I drove off on that guy, that he just wanted some change. I don't know what he wants to change for, but for me, like, he wants something to eat. And I drove off and I left him and I didn't give him the change when I had the change. It didn't sit well with me. So that's why anytime I see somebody that's asking for change, if I have it or if I have anything in my pocket, I'm going to try to give it to them. And that's that. Now, if I know you want to say, I know what you want to say, bro. Just go out and say it.
Nah, dog. Nah, dog.
Real, raw, honest.
Nah, I believe it. I believe it.
Let me go.
Yo, it wouldn't even matter if you went.
Comes on your chest.
It still has to come heart, back.
He wants
it still has to come back.
Should I?
It still has to come back. Yeah, Juice, go ahead.
Just being on the topic that we're talking about, I think I've done people dirty by not being honest with them when they've come to me about whatever, a specific topic, like, do I think they should do this, whatever. But I feel like in the moment I was trying to be a good friend and I should have been real with them and tell them, okay, I don't think that that's for you. That's suitable for you or something you should be doing. And I guess I feel like I did them dirty because I did them a disservice for not being honest with them. And that's okay. And there's one other thing. I never said this before. When you guys came to Halifax and it was about the shoes, the Jordans. Remember? The 11s. I think Fruity wanted them. And I wore them. Remember when you guys came to watch me play basketball?
I vaguely remember this.
And he wanted the Concords, and I was like, nah, I can't give it to him. I wore them still. Did him dirty because he wanted them, and I should have given it to you.
Appreciate it.
You don't remember it?
I sort of remember
okay.
it.
No, you don't remember. It's okay. Don't worry.
I remember
like a bunch of shoe instances with you. Like, Rudy pulled up and said at his house, and the man said, I want those ones. The man gave Fruity some fives I've never seen before in my life. Said, oh, you can hold these.
Damn, man. Still back on me, eh? All right, well, that's the episode. That's, yeah. Oh, man. There's a couple stories. Personally,
your time ran out, brother.
Yeah,
you gotta tell him, brother.
Just say it.
Fuck, fam.
Once you say the first word, it's just going to start flowing, bro.
No, it's choosing a proper story.
Brother, I had so many answers.
But now... I have stories I can be like, yeah, similar to y'all, but that's like I'm piggybacking. I'm cheating it.
No, you know? No, we're cheating.
That's why I said cheating. Water, because I didn't know if you were going to say
it. Yeah, like,
Black man don't cheat.
I don't believe that either. I'll keep it broad.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep it broad. Acting dishonestly. And then also shifting the blame onto somebody else. I don't know if that's too vague, but I've done people dirty like that, where it's like I've done something that obviously I wasn't supposed to be, or I wouldn't feel right if it were done to me, for example. And then
shifting the blame
onto either them, which
call that right now
gaslighting.
Yeah, yeah. But even taking it a step further, putting it on somebody that may have not even been involved in the story at all. You see what I'm saying? Like, if I have, like, a friend of mine, it's like, yo, I was with them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, doing somebody dirty like that, where it's, like, involving them into a story that I'm not
doing. Did you warn them?
No.
Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, now if they get checked, it's like, nah, I didn't do that. So, I fuck. Now we're both fucked. Because now we're all lying. So, now everybody, now that person's looking at us like, oh, both you niggas are dirty. But it's like they have nothing to do with that. So I did two people dirty in a situation, you know? Yeah, that's all I can give you guys.
Fair enough.
Appreciate that. I mean, I think one big thing in life is, yeah, we could sit here and talk about all the great things we did, but to be able to acknowledge our mistakes and where we went wrong, or what strikes as lessons, learnings, and how to be better from them. I think that's the main thing. And that's even like the main point of the podcast, is to acknowledge how we can be better men. So I appreciate you guys all for sharing.
For sure. Anything to promote, gentlemen? Anything coming up? Yeah. New year?
Yeah. With it being a new year.
New you?
Well, kind of, you know. We're looking to host, we're going to host a goal setting workshop. I won't give too much details, but, you know, just want to be able to set men and even youth up to kind of just picture their year and what they want to do for themselves, whether it's short term, long term. So follow Mind State U and look out for that.
Yes, please be on the lookout for Mind State U as well. They're doing amazing things, from men's brunches to goal setting to, you know, just uplifting people in the community. You know what I'm saying? So please be on the lookout for them. Again, follow us at He's a Guy Podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like, comment, let us know all the things that you would like to speak on or you would like us to speak on and discuss. And we'll try to get that out to you, you know. But from another episode, from us to you, be safe. See you guys again.